Welcome to the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to a very frantic show this evening. It seems as though we're about 5 minutes behind. I don't know if that's just in my mind or if it's coming across the air that way. Very much a hustle in place here as we bring you this live installment of our award-winning broadcast, the Political Cesspool radio program here on AM 1380 WLRM Radio. We're going to the AM and FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network, the finest radio network in all of the country. And we are so happy to be affiliated with LNR and the great people that work there. And, of course, we're simulcasting over the Internet as well at thepoliticalcesspool.org. That's our Internet headquarters, thepoliticalcesspool.org, and Liberty News Radio. .com. I am your host, James Edwards. It's Saturday evening, January 16th, and Keith Alexander, who always is with me for the first hour, has graciously lended himself to a little overtime tonight. My next co-host isn't coming into the studio until the bombardier, Eddie Miller, joins me during tonight's third hour. So Keith is going to stick with me for one more segment here at the top of the second hour. Keith, you can't say enough about the intellect that our guests bring to this show. We're very lucky to have such great guests join us each week. Sam Dixon tonight, one of the very best.
Sam is always right at the top of his game, and, you know, he can do an extemporaneous interview that's better than most of the prepared interviews that you'll encounter anywhere else on the radio. He is, he's got a mind like a mousetrap, as they say.
Yes, he does.
How about that?
And he's come on with very short notice before and bailed us out. And tonight, even though it was planned that he would be on, certainly sharp as a razor. Keith, I want to go over one story with you that we posted on the blog a few days ago and get your thoughts on it. I mean, this is pretty indicative of what we're up against. A black preacher up in Portland, Oregon has spilled the beans about racism for us all to learn about. And as we wrote on our website, the Reverend Clifford Chappell is a senior pastor at St. John's All Nations Church of God in Christ in Portland. He wrote an op-ed column for the Oregonian that is entitled, Is Racism Gone for Good? You can read it online by clicking the link at our website. But here's what he had to say, Keith. Essentially, all white people are racist all the time, and we're going to pay for it. I'm going to read now, verbatim, the article that the Reverend Chappell wrote for the Oregonian. And then, Keith, I'd like for you to provide commentary for it before you skedaddle here. Here's what the Reverend wrote. It's been nearly a year since the first African-American took the highest office in the land as president of the United States. With President Obama and the first black family in the White House, does that mean that there is no more racism in this country of ours? That's the perfect dream for millions of people. Throughout this past year, I've heard many say, in effect, that racism has been eliminated, and the proof is the election of Obama. We have finally arrived. The time has come for us to move on to other major issues, such as health care reform, resolving two wars, addressing climate change, and, of course, eliminating bitter bipartisanship, the Reverend writes. Racism gone? If it were only possible. Sadly, it's the furthest thing from the truth. Racism, you see, is a complicated issue. The election of Obama did not and cannot erase what has taken hundreds of years to establish. Yes, our country has made tremendous strides in getting to where we are today, but there is still so much work to be done. Whether we see it or not, racism is woven like elastic threads through our nation's garments. The elastic threads are there and show their presence only when stretched. Threads can be dyed to blend in with the adjacent material. They can be enclosed so that they're out of sight, or they can even become part of the fabric's design, but they remain part of the garment until intentionally they are removed. The Reverend goes on to write that the threads of racism, Keith, run through American culture and are disguised in so many ways. Most people are so accustomed to racism's presence that they cannot even see the threads anymore. I don't mean this in a harsh way, but I believe anyone who was raised and educated in this country has been trained from day one to be a racist. I also believe that unless individuals with intentionality have done what is necessary to change their subconscious responses to race, they are still clothed with countless threads of racism. As an African American, I get stung by the rebound of racist threads almost daily. When I hear people say racism no longer exists, I feel as though I've been slapped in the face yet again. That, Keith, comes from a black pastor, so-called, in Portland, Oregon. That was his word-for-word op-ed that appeared in a very major paper, The Oregonian. As Pat Buchanan has said, Keith, we've heard the grievances. Where's the gratitude? What do you make of an article as obscene as that after all this country has done to improve the lot and life of minorities?
Look, man, I tell you, it's hard for me to control my laughter when I consider that metaphor of elastic in the underwear.
That was pretty deep, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, man. I tell you, John Keats and William Shakespeare, step aside. We've got the new poet of the age here with Reverend Chappelle, who's getting slapped in the face by the elastic band on his underwear, apparently.
Folks, you got to read some of this.
They say you can dress them up, but you can't take them to town. That
that's
is that, the
that's
most
what
absurd,
Grandma said, Keith.
A metaphor that I think I've ever heard. But, you know, see, you're never going to see the ending that he wants, because the ending he wants was presaged by that great Southern thinker, John C. Calhoun, who said back in the 1830s that the true aim of the abolitionist is not freedom for the black race, but rather that the black race and the white race exchange places in society. And more recently, there was a black French revolutionary from Guyana named Franz Fanon who said that the true desire of the slave is not freedom, but rather that he and his slave master exchange places. And quite frankly, when blacks take the leadership role in society and whites are reduced to the status of the blacks or killed or driven out,
you get Haiti. What,
you have Haiti, exactly. That's what I was exactly what I was going to say. Haiti is not something that I want to see duplicated, nor, quite frankly, would any thinking black person. It's just like we were talking about with white flight. Black people are always going to pursue the white race wherever they move to. You can never move far enough away because they instinctively know that if they want to live at a first world level, if they would like to live like people do in Europe and America rather than the way they do in Haiti and sub-Saharan Africa, they're going to have to be around a lot of white people. And, of course, they have perfected this guilt-tripping where whites are supposed to feel guilty because of black social pathologies and black problems. You don't see, for example, that there's a 15-point differential between the average black IQ and white IQ. This was brought out by Herrnstein and Murray in their book, The Bell Curve. That's why it was so controversial. Other scientists that study human biodiversity like Richard Lynn and Tato Vanakkan have said the same thing. They've come to the same conclusion, which, and that means because we have a bell curve, that only 16% of the black population has an IQ equal to or greater than the white average. And on the other side, only 16% of whites have an IQ equal to or less than the black average. So consequently, it would be a disaster for blacks to run the country, which is what the only thing that's going to be satisfactory to somebody like Reverend Chappelle. And, of course, what's the old saying? Be careful what you wish for. Your dream may come true.
Right.
When they get it, you get Haiti.
Well, Keith, I think, and let's be clear again, and we sometimes have to take pains on this program to let people know that this is not a mass condemnation. Not all blacks in this country share the skewed thinking of Reverend Chappelle, but it goes without saying that 95, 96, 97% of blacks voted for Obama, voted for the Democrats, and there's a big problem there. A big problem there. But nevertheless, it seems as though in Reverend Chappelle's mind, the only way that whites can absolve themselves of racism is to kill themselves, and then someday, after all the whites have been killed, there will come a day when so many generations have passed that blacks will have forgotten that whites ever existed. Maybe then.
Well, even that
maybe then our sins will be paid.
Well, you have to go even further than that.
Alleged
sins. You have to devise a system in which blacks will succeed And when left to their own devices, as we see in sub-Saharan Africa and Haiti, that doesn't happen.
And this is something, again, we don't get any sort of warm, fuzzy feeling by having to point out these unfortunate truths. I wish that there were no differences between the races. It would make things a lot easier. But unfortunately, there are. And it can be debated why these differences exist, but it cannot be debated that they are there. And if they are there, we need to be able to have adult conversations about this. We've got to take another break. We'll be back right after this. Stay tuned, everybody.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I think tonight's broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program is absolutely scorching. I think it is on fire. It's ablaze. We have covered a lot of ground and provided, I think, some very truthful and hard-hitting commentary in doing so. We've talked about Haiti. We've talked about the Michael King holiday. That was his real name, by the way. Had an excellent interview with Sam Dixon in which we discussed the detrimental after effects of the phenomenon known as white flight. And then here to start off tonight's second hour, you heard Keith Alexander and I cover that really obscene and offensive article that was written for the Oregonian by the so-called Reverend Chappelle over there in Portland, Oregon. If you want to read that, go to our blog. I think our blog, by the way, has been equally sizzling as we have kicked off this new year. You can go back. That particular entry regarding the Reverend Chappelle op-ed was posted. I wrote that on January 6th. The 6th of January, so a few days ago. But nevertheless, this show, this year, so far, I have to say, I do believe we're at the top of our game. Hutton Gibson and Dr. Kevin McDonald last week. You've heard from Sam Dixon tonight, and you will soon hear from Gordon Baum, the chief executive officer of the Council of Conservative Citizens. He is another all-star guest. We are trying to give it to you as hard as we can as we kick off 2010. Thanks again to Keith for putting in a little OT tonight. Keith has left the studio. Keith has left the building. Keith Alexander has left the building. But I will be joined a little bit later on tonight. You're going to have to take some oxygen, folks, if it gets any heavier this evening. Eddie the Bombardier Miller. We've got a very special third hour planned for you as we talk about effective activism, the right way and the wrong thing to do, the right way and the wrong way to do things in the third hour. We will also be joined by another special guest during tonight's third hour from the Campaign for Liberty movement. All that's forthcoming. But to get back to the Reverend Chappelle article, and again, I will say this, and I want to be clear. There is nothing inherently wrong with European Americans giving to people of other races. In fact, that's a laudable action. It's charitable. It's kind. It's generous. Nothing wrong with that at all. Nothing wrong with wanting to help impoverished people. But when you do it to the point, and I say this again with at the risk of sounding redundant, when you do it to the point where it's excessive. Certainly, as this welfare state has been absolutely demonic, to use the word, and when you do it at the expense and at the exclusion of your own family, you do it so excessively to the point where your own family is hurt, as certainly the taxpayers of this country have been hurt by the welfare state and through affirmative action and set-asides and all of the billions of dollars of foreign aid that is unconstitutionally given, then you got a problem. And it doesn't, Reverend Chappelle proves that all of this philanthropy doesn't curry you any favor with the recipients of this obscene giving. So lessons could be learned there. But in and of itself, nothing's wrong with that. We're not condemning people who give. It's good to give, but not to the extent that it's been done. And, you know, certainly if the recipients are so ungrateful that they think that after hundreds of years, Americans haven't done anything to, not that we ever did anything wrong, let me be clear about that. Let me be very clear about that. But if they still are under the impression that, you know, nothing has been done for them, then that needs to be, I think, taken into account too. I want to give you another administrative reminder, and we did this at the top of the show, trying to catch my breath here and catch up before we get into Gordon and before Eddie comes into the studio and we get into that third hour. Really trying to catch my breath here more than anything, but I do want to remind you that, first of all, we love getting your emails. We are blessed to have a very interactive listening audience and a very interactive fan base for this radio show. We love getting your questions via email. We love getting your letters. We love, we even love the hate mail, and we love the enthusiastic compliments that people pay this radio program. We love all of it. But unfortunately, over the course of the last week to 10 days, we weren't getting it because our mail delivery system crashed due to the overwhelming amount of correspondence we get. But our very skilled webmaster has gone in and cleaned out all of the email. We flushed the emails out, all of the emails that have been piling up that we have read, but they were still, you know, there in the queue. We got them all out, and it's clear now. So if you want to email us, go to thepoliticalcesspool.org, go to the contact page. You can email any member of my hosting staff, and of course my email address is james.edwards@thepoliticalcesspool.org. Emails are clear and ready to go now. And if you want the email addresses of the other guys, Bill, Roland, Winston Smith, and Eddie Miller, their email addresses are available at the contact page. So just, you know, we take a lot of pride in responding to as much of the email as we can. But if you've emailed us recently and you didn't get a response, don't think that we're too big for our britches or not thankful for you taking the time to write. Certainly we are, and that's the reason that happened. So email us now. It's ready to go. Quick story. It's kind of a trivial story, but might as well mention it. Did you hear the story about, and you probably have by now, the NBA teammates that pulled guns on each other? As Keith said in the last segment, Grandma used to say, you can dress some people up, but you can't take them to town. Well, the other day, a couple of members of the Washington Wizards basketball team pulled guns on each other. I mean, these are multimillionaires we're talking about. Now, Gilbert Arenas, which is one of the players involved, he's an NBA All-Star. He gets paid $146,000 per game. There's 82 ball games in an NBA season, not counting playoffs. He gets paid $150,000 a game, and he's still acting like a little punk. But the story is, as you know, two members of the Washington Wizards pulled guns on each other in the locker room over a gambling debt. Of course, this team used to be called the Washington Bullets, but changed their name a few years ago because of the association with D.C.'s high crime rate. Looks like they should have stuck with the name. And we've linked up for you a story on our blog, which the blog has been equally sizzling, as I said, to this radio show at the top of this year. I guess they're still bullets at heart. NBA All-Star Gilbert Arenas and his Washington Wizards teammate Javaris Crittenden drew guns on each other. This happened in the team's locker room at their home arena during the Christmas Eve dispute over a gambling debt. And this is according to the Washington Post. League sources say that the pistol-packing point guards had heaters, a.k.a. guns, heaters at the ready inside the Verizon Center, their Washington, D.C. home court. It was three-time All-Star Arenas who went for the gun first, drawing on the 22-year-old Crittenden, who quickly brandished a firearm as well, according to the Post. The duel in D.C., unprecedented in sports history, was sparked when Crittenden became enraged at the Veteran Guard for refusing to make good on a gambling debt. "I'm not your punk," Crittenden shouted at Arenas. That prompted Arenas to draw on Crittenden, who also grabbed for a gun, league security sources said. So there you go. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that's taking place with multimillionaires. So don't tell me it's poverty that's keeping all of these minorities down. We'll be back with more right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program, everyone. I'm your host, James Edwards. It is Saturday evening, January 16th, and we are now joined by our second guest of the night, another great friend of mine and accomplished leader, Gordon Baum. Gordon is the chief executive officer of the Council of Conservative Citizens, which, among other things, is one of the most, to use the word again, accomplished and venerable conservative organizations here in America. Gordon, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be with you, James.
Well, Gordon, as you know, and hopefully as people listening around the country, around the world know, one of the reasons that I created this program back in 2004 was to educate to the best of my ability and inform and to an extent entertain the audience. But if you possess certain knowledge and you don't parlay that into activism, I think that that's almost a sin. So occasionally, Gordon, we like to have people on. Obviously, you're one of these people at the very top of the list, in fact. For people out there who are becoming educated on the issues that matter most to our nation's survival, we like to give them opportunities to join up with certain organizations, and there's not one that I could recommend more wholeheartedly than the Council of Conservative Citizens. As most people know, I'm a member of the Board of Directors. I proudly serve as a member of the board for the CFCC. And we've got Gordon on tonight to, among other things, remind people why this is a great organization to join up with. So if you got a lot of knowledge, you want to put that into action, here's you a great organization that has a track record of success and proven results that we want you to join. So, Gordon, that being said and the stage being set, give us a cursory review of the Council of Conservative Citizens. What's it all about?
Well, we are the largest. Defamed and said we're a pro-white organization. Well, we're not exclusively white. Anybody can join. But we do touch on issues such as affirmative action, immigration, reverse discrimination, crime that has a racial component to it. It seems that most conservatives today, the neoconservatives, neocons, are afraid to touch on these issues, but we feel that there's no problem and that it should be. And pride in being white and European descent. There's organizations for Hispanics and blacks and you name it. But if you have an organization that tries to represent the whites, then you're automatically labeled as a racist. Well, they can label us what they want, but we're just realists and we're proud of what our people have accomplished and we're trying to preserve it. And so the council was created about 24 years ago. We have members in every state in the union in about 13 foreign countries. We have active chapters in 28 states, and primarily at the local level and the national, we serve as a voice and active advocate for the no longer silent conservative majority, which usually translates to mean working middle class whites. But again, we have Hispanics and a few blacks that belong. Anybody can join. And the dues are, you know, pretty minimal, 25 a year, and a fourth of that goes back to the local chapter. Now, we don't expect everybody to join to become activists because we know it's just not realistic, and not practical, and they probably won't. But at least by belonging, they're giving the wherewithal to the people that are active to carry on with their programs, whether it's fighting higher taxation in the community or fighting some group that led the fight in Michigan for the civil rights initiative to ban affirmative action and quotas. And that's the kind of activities our local chapters become involved in. And heritage, whether it's Columbus, proud of being Italian, being a Columbus, or the Southerners, proud of being a Confederate, their Confederate ancestry. In fact, we've been the most successful group in the country in fighting for Southern symbolism. We led the fight in Mississippi to preserve the Confederate flag as their state flag quite successfully. And for 7 years in South Carolina, we're the group that kept the Confederate flag flying over the state capitol. So if people are looking for something to do, and it'd be a great compliment to be in a supporter of the political cesspool, because there you can learn the facts and that, and then by belonging to an organization, we have a quarterly newspaper, excellent, 24 pages, and the editor of the paper is your Bill Rowland.
That's right. So, Gordon, you've really given people a laundry list of reasons to join up. I'd like to echo that by saying, you know, yeah, and you mentioned, and I'm glad you did, Bill, of course, does an excellent job as co-host of this show, but he does an equally impressive job as editor of the Citizens Informer, which is the quarterly newspaper publication of the Council of the Conservative Citizens.
Which members receive as part of their membership. Or they can subscribe to it separately, I think for $19.95 a year. But for $25 a year, they get it as part of their membership.
There you go. So just another reason to join. But let me chime in this, Gordon, by saying, first of all, if you possess, and I say this again, if you possess certain knowledge on the issues that animate us, you have a responsibility, I believe, to get active. Now, that being said, I've been around not as long as you, Gordon, but long enough to know that the one thing our people like to do more than engaging in our enemies on certain issues is to fight with one another. You've got an affliction in this movement of people wanting to go off and start their own little clubs and a lot of silly nonsense infighting. That's not constructive, and sometimes it's good. I mean, I wish there were hundreds of radio shows like ours. You want there to be more groups out there, but sometimes it makes the most sense to join a group with a proven track record, an organization that has leadership and infrastructure, and certainly the council is one of those. One of the premier organizations that has this track record of success. Gordon, you dutifully mentioned, and I'm glad you did, the successful fight that the council waged in Michigan to make reverse discrimination illegal, meaning basically if whites are overlooked for jobs because of quotas or set aside,
you're giving preferences for blacks at white expense.
Right, exactly. And the very publicized fight in Mississippi some years back where they were trying to remove the Confederate flag from the official Mississippi state flag, and the CFCC was instrumental in making sure that that didn't happen and mustering an overwhelming vote in favor of our flag. So these are just...
And we were the major group in the country that fought forced busing, which afflicted cities and states all across the country. But we were in the very forefront, from Boston to Los Angeles, from Florida to St. Louis, which was the biggest forced busing case in the country. And we were in the forefront of fighting that. In St. Louis, we had 5 of the 12 members on the school board that were members of the Council of Conservative Citizens.
Well, and see, and all of that just goes to show. I mean, you want something, I think, with a little bit of longevity and consistency behind it when you're looking for organizations to latch on to. You can't be active. You can't financially support every organization that's out there. And we're just trying to do our part to give you a choice. And there are...
There's so many slices of bread in a loaf. There's so many slices of pizza. The more you divide it up, the less there is for any few groups to have the wherewithal to carry on the fight. You can get carried away. It's fine for people to start their own groups if they got their own agenda of some sort. But the thing is, you carry that concept too far, you're killing yourself.
That's right.
You can't divide up your resources indefinitely. You know, everything is finite, has a beginning and an end, and a certain amount of resources are available. And you got to just focus on what you think is going to help promote your beliefs the best you can. I might want to mention we have one of the best websites in the country. Kyle Roger, originally from Ohio, now in Charleston, South Carolina. It's cofcc.org, cofcc.org. And you can go there and request further information, or he keeps it fresh every day, and you've got all kind of neat stuff up there. Currently, we're very interested in Haiti. We're joining you and Bill and Keith and him in raising money for Haiti.
Yeah, I think we've been pretty clear about how adamant we are in raising those funds and sending it down there, and we know that as Rush Limbaugh said, as soon as our money...
Well, we raise money for them. It's called taxes. And we send them tens of millions of dollars every year for what? They have no government. The thing is that 80% of people live on, what, a dollar a week or a dollar a day, and that's their income. And so most of them, this is a bonanza. This is the best thing to happen to them. They're getting all this free food and water. They keep complaining they don't have any water. Well, they never had any water to start with, not potable fresh water. They drink out of mud puddles.
Well, Gordon, we've been wearing out Haiti tonight, but I think I'm going to borrow your line there and say, yeah, I did my part to support Haiti. I paid my taxes this year. But listen, we're going to take a break and pick it up right after this. We got to take a commercial. But when we return, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be rejoined by Gordon Baum, the CEO of the Council of Conservative Citizens. Stay tuned for that. More to come.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. We'll return. Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Continuing on this fast-paced edition of the Political Cesspool, we are rejoined now by Gordon Baum, the Chief Executive Officer of the Council of Conservative Citizens. And certainly Gordon is a man gifted enough to talk about any issue we could throw at him with deft precision, but we like to have Gordon on a handful of times a year to promote exclusively on this program the Council of Conservative Citizens. It's an organization which, as I said, he serves as the CEO of. I'm a member of the board. Not a finer group of people could be found. They're kind enough to indulge me an opportunity to speak at their annual conferences, which are always a highlight of my year. And this is something I want you to be a part of, ladies and gentlemen. I take a lot of pride in knowing that because of this show, many of my listeners have come to join the CFCC and are now part of a wide community of like-minded activists that have a proven track record of giving you the results that we want. And so, Gordon, continuing on about it, I think we've given people ample reason to join up with the Council of Conservative Citizens to become a member, and at that point, of course, deciding in which ways they can help the cause. But, Gordon, give us a little more information about the kind of activities that people can become engaged in after becoming a member of the council and what the action plan is for 2010.
Well, most of our activities tend to be at the local level. We always have national projects go on, but a lot of times we try to encourage through our newspaper and our website people to become involved at their local level, because that's where politics starts, is at the local level. As Tip O'Neill, the Liberal Democrat, used to say, all politics is local. And if you get people organized at the local level, we're one of the few groups in the country that have local chapters, virtually the only one that has successful local chapters. But here in Missouri, I just was listening to your commercials. Last year, we had a bill passed in Missouri we were very instrumental in that makes it a state crime to hire illegals in contract jobs and so forth, and they're starting to enforce it very vigorously in Missouri. Because like all states, we're impacted. And immigration, illegal immigration in particular, is becoming a real threat to this country, not just because of the economic problems that it creates, which is huge. You know, that's most of the problem in California, and that's where our people out there are mostly involved in. A lot of places, trying to get legislation and trying to get the congressmen and senators and local legislators to do something about the illegal immigration. We've got four states now that Texas, New Mexico, California, Hawaii are the majority non-white. At this trend, by 2050, they're talking about the United States becoming majority non-white. Well, we can forget our culture. It'll be just like Mexico, which has the highest crime rate in the world. And it's going that way. Phoenix, Arizona, where we've got members and chapter, they're the highest kidnap for ransom capital in the United States. One a day on the average of people being kidnapped for ransom, mostly by Mexican drug cartels.
Well, Gordon, and that's just, that harkens back to something I said on one of my CNN appearances. You can't have a first world country with a third world population.
No, people create cultures. Cultures don't create people. And if people want this to be like Mexico or Cuba or Haiti or someplace, then let it happen. But don't expect it to be the same as it is now, and these all become nice little Anglos, and we're going to go on, and it's going to be like it is. I mean, go to St. Louis or Memphis or Atlanta and see what happens when the third world takes over. New York, San Francisco, you name any city major. Omaha, Nebraska is majority non-white now. And if people think this can continue forever, and they can just go watch their baseball games and go fishing, and it straightened itself out. They couldn't be wrong, more wrong.
And that is exactly why, Gordon, thank you for bringing that up in such a stark contrast. That's exactly what I'm talking about. People, you see, this isn't a matter of political preference. This is something in which our very culture, our very civilization,
Our very survival
hangs in the balance. So if you see these problems occurring in places like Phoenix and the other cities that Gordon listed, and you see that, you have a responsibility to take action to make sure that it's stopped in its tracks and indeed reversed. And I can't, honestly, I can't at this time give you a better option for positive results than the Council of Conservative Citizens. I mean, yes, support this radio program. We're doing our part, and it's important that you do that. But if you want to join up and actually get in the streets, the council is one of the destinations you ought to take a hard look at.
Well, we have outside activities all the time. In Florida today, we got three chapters working on a big tea party north of Tampa where we have people turn out. And the difference between our tea parties and most is that we've mentioned some of these issues that a lot of these tea parties are afraid to talk about. And the thing is that these make an impact on politicians. Politicians are, forgive the expression, are prostitutes, most of them, unfortunately. They do what they think is most politically expedient, and they will pander to those they think can help them or hurt them the worst. And if they think the liberal news media and the non-whites can help them the most, that's who they'll pander to. But if they think the good old white boys can influence the outcome of elections, they will pander to them. And that's what it's all about, is perception. And if we get up there and make noise and demonstrate and picket, have letter-writing campaigns and go lobby at the state capitals and so forth, it makes a big impact. People shouldn't think. Coming up here Tuesday is the election that's going to be held in Massachusetts. I think it's almost too much to hope for, but I pray that it occurs. It looks like the Democrats going to lose and a Republican might win. Right now the polls showed it dead even. Even though they're sending up Clinton and they're sending up Obama's even coming in, I think, this weekend trying to save the day.
And this is in Kennedy's old seat.
Yeah, for Kennedy's old seat, and Obama won the state with 20% more than McCain. And, of course, McCain didn't give us a whole lot to vote for. But nevertheless, this will be dramatic, and it will kill their six if they lose this election, which there's a possibility, not great, but there is a real possibility Tuesday. We should all keep our eye on this, because this means there's been a sea change of attitude to the American people. Don't forget, the majority of whites did not vote for Obama in no state. In south of you, in Louisiana, Tennessee, and Alabama, less than 10% of the whites voted for Obama. And in virtually every state in the country, the majority of the whites, including Missouri, did not vote for Obama. And we are the power if we just get off our tokus and go out and do something about it. If we sit back and wait for somebody else to do it, for James or Gordon or Bill, and they don't want to do anything but sit back and cheer us on, that's fine. But then if it all goes to pot, they're partially responsible, and they can then let their grandkids and understand that they had part to do with the destruction of the greatest country on the face of the earth.
The greatest country in the history of recorded civilization. And Gordon, with that said, I don't think, if we haven't already impressed upon the people, our good friends who listen to this program, their duty to join. I mean, how can we look back and read history and see what the Confederates gave up, see what the people who won our revolution, the price they had to pay? How can we see them make these sacrifices and we do any less?
And we can't even spend $25, which is what you'd spend to go have a pizza with Mama, you know, one night. And they won't even do that to preserve their own nation, their own culture, their own civilization, their own race, their own family. It sometimes just breaks your heart that people are so uncaring.
Well,
they can spend money to Haiti, or they can go pay $50 to watch a football game, but they will do nothing. Most people aren't interested in politics, but those that are, you've got a duty, folks, to do something.
Well, that said, Gordon, we're running short on time. That seems to be the theme of tonight's show. We got to give people
the address and phone number.
Yeah, get let people know how they can join the Council of Conservative Citizens.
They can just write to COFCC, Council of Conservative Citizens, COFCC, PO Box 22-1683, St. Louis, Mo, 63122. Or they can call 636-940-8474, 636-940-8474. Or easier yet, they can go to our website, COFCC.org, COFCC.org, and they can request a copy for free of our latest Citizens Informer newspaper, and they'll see Mr. Bill Rowland and you in there. We always have an ad for the political cesspool. By the way, you guys are doing a great job. I think you're the best radio program in not the country, but the world. I understand we're picking up a huge audience abroad.
Well, it's certainly going that way, upward trajectory. The ascension is in place, and Gordon, thank you for the kind words. It's nice when people can work together in unison, is it not?
Yes, sir, it is. I wish more of us would do it. But thank you and the fellows down there working with you, the ladies and gentlemen, for all the good work you're doing. You're irreplaceable.
Well, maybe if we can continue to work together in cooperation with one another, we might just have some sort of a lasting effect, and a good one at that. And that's certainly the goal, not to spin our wheels, not to pontificate. And we might not be successful, but God knows we're going to give it our best shot to do something.
My old German grandpa said, if they throw you out the airplane, flap you hit the ground.
Something like that, Gordon. And we're going to do something like that, too. And we're going to try our best to make a difference. And if nothing else, we'll go to our grave knowing that we tried. But let's see. Let's make sure that our work ends up being more than that. Let's make sure it's effective. Join the council. We'll be back with more right after this on the Political Cesspool. Third hour still forthcoming.
Believe it or not, there's a third hour of tonight's installment of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
They pull the ride.